This week's conversation with Elizabeth Reese, Marketing Manager at Woodlawn and the Frank Lloyd Wright Pope Leahy House, is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery at sassyjackstitchery.com. Hurricane Helene hit North Carolina hard, but the Sassy Jack's shop was spared. The shop is open and has power, but no water. If you have needlework needs, please consider ordering from Sassy Jack's. Kim had to cancel her planned fall workshops and is working to keep business moving and her employees employed. She'll have some special offers in the next few weeks, and currently Jackie DePlessis has created a new ornament called Rise Above the Waters. You can order the ornament at the Sassy Jack's website, and Kim is donating all profits to the local food bank to help those in need in the Asheville area. Make it a habit to visit the Sassy Jack's site and join the Sassy Jack's Facebook group to keep up with new things that will be happening in the near future. If you're in the area, gather your stitching and go to the shop for a bit of mental relief from the stress of recovery. Thanks to Sassy Jack's for sponsoring this week's show, and now our conversation with Elizabeth Reese of Woodlawn. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week is Elizabeth Reese, and Elizabeth is the Associate Manager of Marketing at Woodlawn and the Frank Lloyd Wright's Pope Leahy House. Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I appreciate you doing this. So what we're going to get to in the bulk of the show here is coming up is the 50th anniversary of Nellie's Needlers, the organizers of 50 years ago of the Woodlawn Needlework Show. So
we're,
so that's big. I mean, 50 years for a needlework organization of any kind to stay together is impressive. So we're going to get to that. But right up front, just for people who don't know, give us kind of a rundown of what Woodlawn is and the Frank Lloyd Wright Pope Leahy House. What is that organization all about? How does it function?
Yeah, so Woodlawn and Pope Leahy House are two historic homes on one site. We are operated by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, and from the majority of our season, which it runs from April until December, we operate historic house museum tours. Woodlawn was originally the home of Nellie Park Custis Lewis, who was George Washington's adopted granddaughter, his step-granddaughter, and the Pope Leahy House was moved to the property in the 1960s. It was originally built in Falls Church, Virginia. We're located in Alexandria, just south of the city of Alexandria, right down the road from George Washington's Mount Vernon. And the house was moved when I-66 was going to go through the house. So the owner of the time, Marjorie Leahy, petitioned to get the home relocated. The National Trust got involved, and then the home was moved in the 1960s. So that's how a Frank Lloyd Wright house ended up on the site of a former plantation.
Good save.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to be editor of a commercial architecture magazine, and so we would encounter the Frank Lloyd Wright structures from time to time in stories. And every one of them, you know, do not let them get destroyed. Do not keep them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She had a good eye for keeping it. And today we're the only Frank Lloyd Wright house that's open to the public in the DC area. So thanks to her efforts, we have that nice little feather in our cap.
So when we come to Woodlawn, to the property, what we've got the Woodlawn building house and then the Frank Lloyd Wright one. And then I assume there are some impressive gardens and grounds around. I mean, what do we experience when we go there?
We're located on 126 acres, so it's quite a large space. A good chunk of that acreage is with a partnership that works with us called Arcadia for Food Sustainability. And so they actually farm much of the land, and they have food trucks, they help food deserts in the DC area, affordable produce here in the DC area. Is what they work on. And then we have the two homes, Woodlawn, which is the massive center, kind of federal Georgian style plantation home, typical of what you see in the early 19th century. And then a farther bit away, we have the Pope Leahy House. There are some trails, some walking trails and grounds for visitors to enjoy. It is a little tucked away, so you don't really feel like you're in the middle of Northern Virginia when you're visiting us.
Yeah, and I was interested that the Potomac Heritage National Scenic Trail runs through the property, so people who hike and bike can enjoy that part too.
Yes, we are along the Potomac Heritage Trail, which runs 900 miles from the mouth of the Potomac all the way out to like the Western Alleghenies. So if you are in the mood for the long treks and you take the Potomac Heritage Trail, you'll come across Woodlawn and Pope Leahy House too.
Oh, that's neat. So when, you know, most of our listeners would go for the needlework show, but when the needlework show is not on display, what else do people see?
So the needlework show will run for the entirety of March, and then we get a little bit of time to reset, and then we open up for our normal tour season. So if people are interested in coming back after the needlework show is over, we offer historic house tours. We also have exhibits. We have a new exhibit that just opened at Woodlawn called Woodlawn People and Perspectives, and it talks about the entire history of the site, not just the Lewis family's time here, although that is a big part of it. Quakers then bought the property and operated it as a free labor colony, showing that the agricultural South could continue without the need for slavery. And this was about 20 years before the Civil War. So we highlight their story. We highlight the enslaved community and the free Black community that called this area home, as well as the 20th century preservation movement. So if you're interested in history, if you're interested in architecture, there is something really for everyone once they get hooked in with right. the needlework show.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was really neat, the history and the slaves, and that you guys have addressed that. What is it, the International Coalition of Sites of Conscience? So you guys have addressed that, embraced it, tell the story, the whole bit then. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We are really devoted to telling the full history of Woodlawn, and that includes every single person that worked here and lived here throughout its 200-plus year history. We've done extensive research on the enslaved population here with the help of descendants and scholars, as well as our staff, and that is a huge, huge part of the new exhibit that just opened this spring.
Oh, that's great. No, it's just fantastic. You know, we can't change the history, but we can embrace it and make sure people are aware. That's just fantastic. Yeah, and then the Frank Lloyd Wright House, is that also a tourable thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all tourable. The Frank Lloyd Wright House is also open during the needlework show too. So if you come to Woodlawn for the needlework show, you can also visit the Pope Leahy House. It's about a 5-minute walk away from Woodlawn. That operates as normal house tours during our hours of operation. And then we also have special events. We have a very popular program called Right at Twilight. You can have the opportunity to visit the Pope Leahy House after hours, enjoy a glass of wine, have some cheese while the sun sets. And this winter, we will also be having holiday tours where the house is decorated in kind of a mid-century holiday. And that's also in the evening as well.
So if I show up, I can literally chew up a whole weekend just there on the property, really enjoying so many different things. That's really neat.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. No, I think people, I've never been, and now I really want to go because, we hear about the needlework show and we think, oh, you go in and you walk in, you see some needlework and you go home. But no, much more. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think so many people know of us from the needlework show. When I meet people out in town and I say I work at Woodlawn, and I very often hear, oh, I go to the needlework show every year. I've been going for decades. My grandmother entered, but we have the needlework show and so much more too. So I'm hopeful that a lot of people who attend the needlework show will also come back for a tour or an event or one of the also many things that we have going on throughout the year.
There's more to it than textile arts. Enjoy it. Yes. Now, okay, now next year's needlework show, we're talking about the needlework show in March, and you think, oh, that's a long way off and blah, blah, blah. No, we're actually getting this in just ahead of the registration. What registration is the 9th through February 2nd. So we're at the doorstep now of next year's show. Talk about how people get involved in that, and what is the, you know, for those who don't know the show, what is the show? How does it work? How do you enter? Can you enter?
Yeah. Yes. So the Woodlawn Needlework Show is the longest running and largest needlework show in the country, to the best of our knowledge. And it has been going on for 62 years. It is judged. It's not juried, which means that anyone and everyone can enter. You can have, we have a youth category. We have a senior category. If you've been needleworking for your entire life, if you just started a couple weeks ago, if you have a piece that you would like to enter, all entries are accepted and then they are judged. So you don't need to be invited to enter. We encourage as many people who have an interest in this. There's a couple different categories that we have. There's an original category, which is basically you've created your own pattern. If you have taken a photograph yourself and you make a needlework piece based on a photograph that you've taken, that would be classified as original. There's an adaptation, which is if you are using someone else's photograph, or perhaps you saw a painting or another piece of art and wanted to incorporate that into a piece, that would be an adaptation. And then there's a commercial design for maybe a one that you, a pattern, a workshop, a class, for those entries. So that it is open to sort of any experience background. The point of the show is to make it something that's very inclusive and to show that needlework is something that is done by all different ages, genders, and abilities as well.
Now, do we care about technique? I mean, can it be?
Yes, there are some, there are very specific technique rules. They are all listed on our website, though. We have it all, even though the registration for pieces is not going to open until early next month. On our website, we have a section for the needlework show in specific, and all the different techniques are all laid out. The major rule of the entrant is that the person must still be alive. Who made the piece.
I can't send my grandma's piece in? Come on.
Unfortunately, no.
Ah, she was really good. No, but I think it's worth pointing out because we think of East Coast and D.C. area, cross-stitch and samplers, but that is not, that's not the, this is not a cross-stitch show. This is any needlework, just about any needlework.
Yes.
I mean, what lace was even in there? I mean, it was all kinds of things. Yeah.
It is a really long list. I think my background and my own personal enjoying embroidery and cross stitching was really limited to like embroidery and cross stitching. And in my time here, I have learned so many different techniques and like what like needlework really is. It has really opened my mind. And then when the house is decorated for the show, the pieces are all throughout Woodlawn. They're in the hallways. The home is full of pieces. I think last year we had about 450 pieces submitted from all over the country. Yeah. And just seeing the different styles and like what people are inspired by, it is like such a variety, and it's really exciting to see.
And that is one of the coolest things. People will see it in the pictures that I'll post, but if you can see it anywhere, is that all of the pieces that have been selected, they're hung on walls in rooms. So it could be a bedroom or whatever in the house. So walking through a house, a furnished house, and then you're just looking at needlework that's just hung everywhere. It is just one of the neatest ways. It's not this sterile gallery thing at all. It's just like every corner is a new discovery. It's so cool.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's neat. And then, anybody can enter, and then a group of judges. Is that the Nellie's Needlers? That they're the judges.
So they act. The Nellie's Needlers are an all volunteer organization, but we actually hire judges who are certified and have been to all the schools and really know what they're looking for. They come over a weekend and judge each and every piece. for the style. We have guidelines for judging as well, exactly what they're looking for. And that's a whole like weekend ordeal that it takes to judge all of them.
400 plus pieces in a weekend. Oh, my head.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's great. So if you, so, I mean, I, you know, I've talked, know of several people who have been selected for display. And of course, that's a big, big deal to get that. So that gives people an idea. If you get selected your piece out of all those entries, then yeah, you're pretty special. Yeah.
Yeah. If you get one of the, like the big ribbons, it's pretty exciting. I believe the Best in Show winner last year, she had only started doing needlework over the pandemic, and it was a piece of her dog and her son, and it's this beautiful, it looks like it's painted, it's this really beautiful unique piece. So also goes to show, like, you can be consider yourself a novice, then end up winning the top prize, which, yeah, is pretty exciting.
People like that annoy me, you know. So much talent. Yeah. Oh, I can do that. Yeah. 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 You just sit there with your jaw, your jaw drops, and it's like, holy smokes. Oh, I started in the pandemic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great though. So now, and people can enter, but you can deliver it to Woodlawn, or you can just simply mail it in. There's a whole system laid out for how people,
yes,
can enter. Yeah.
Yeah, we have, so registration will open on November 9th and it will go through February 2nd. But if you are looking to mail in your entry, and our mail-in is one of the shops that we use as the address for people to mail in. Again, everything is all listed clearer on our website than,
yes,
I should probably verbalize it. The mail-in entry ends on January 11th. So if you are not local to the DC area and are looking to mail in, it's a little bit earlier of a deadline, just so we can make sure we have all the pieces mailed and ready. If you are local, we do offer in-person drop-offs, and those are from January 31st through February 2nd. That would be here at Woodlawn.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, everything, just going through the website in preparation for this, everything is absolutely laid out to the T. You guys have it. Yeah, there's no question about how to go about this stuff at the website. And I've got that down at the screen, and I'll put it in the show notes too. All right, so then in March we have the 1 month display, and I'm sure there is just a daily stream of people coming through to see that thing.
Yes, it's open March 1st through the 31st every March, and we're open every day except for Tuesdays. So Tuesdays is a day to kind of just reset, regroup a bit.
Yeah.
In addition to the needlework show during the month of March, there is also a cafe on site. We usually normally don't have a cafe during regular kind of house tours, but during the needlework show, there is a cafe called Nellie's Cafe that is also run by the Nellie's Needlers. And they have delicious lemon tarts and delicious lunches. And so you can really spend the whole day at Woodlawn for the needlework show if you'd like to.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to. Yes. I got to get there. Yeah. All right. These Nellie Needlers group, this 50 years now they've been doing this. How did this get started? What is their role?
So this started as a group with three women, kind of a volunteer core to support the preservation efforts of Woodlawn. The Needlework Show had been going on for a little bit of time before Nellie's Needlers was established, but it has grown exponentially in the past 50 years. They have recently donated their $1 millionth to Woodlawn's preservation. And the Needlework Show itself is the largest fundraising effort for the preservation of Woodlawn that we have in our calendar year. So all the proceeds from the Needlework Show go to support the preservation of Woodlawn and our programs and our sustainability as a site, which is just wonderful. The Nellies also offer workshops, children's workshops as well. If there's children who are interested in learning more about needlework and different techniques, and in celebration of this 50th anniversary, they're extending it beyond just the needlework show. It's really going to be this full year of celebrating 50 years of Nellie's Needlers. They'll be offering wellness teas and other additional workshops as well to help spread what they do and the art of needlework.
Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic. So how did they get started? What, those three ladies, and where's the Nellies come from?
Nellies comes from the name of Eleanor Park Custis Lewis, who went by the name Nellie, who was the first owner of the house.
I'd go by Nellie too if I had that string of names.
She's got a pretty long name. Yeah. And who was George Washington's step-granddaughter. She was the granddaughter of Martha Washington through her first marriage. And she was actually raised by Martha and George Washington at Mount Vernon, just down the road from us. So she was an accomplished needleworker herself. We have a lot of her pieces in our collection. And so that is where the name Nellie's Needlers comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. Someday we got to see some of those pieces. That would be fun. Yeah.
Yes. We occasionally will have them out for some exhibits during the needlework show. And the Nellies also do like replica pieces of some of her pieces as well. So yeah. We do try to bring them out.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So then Nellies formed to start just to volunteer, and now they've grown to how many people? It looked like in the pictures, a good handful.
They have quite a lot, and anyone is eligible to join. And in lieu of dues, they just request volunteer hours, whether that is volunteering with the needlework show, whether that is making items to sell in the Woodlawn gift shop, which then the proceeds of which are donated to Woodlawn. But they have quite a few members, and they meet every other month or so here at Woodlawn as well. So they are deeply involved in what we do, and the proud group of volunteers that we love partnering with.
Yeah. And $1 million they've raised. That's,
yeah,
that's not too bad.
That is impressive. So, yeah. So impressive. And for a volunteer organization to have been around for so long, we are so excited to be celebrating this 50th anniversary, and kind of like a call to action that we're requesting from people who may be interested in submitting is that for this 50th anniversary, we are very interested in getting 50 entries from all 50 states. So if you are from far, far away from Virginia, and you'd like to see your piece submitted, please submit it. We really want to make this 50th anniversary celebration a really big one.
Okay, so let's go, Alaska people. Start stitching.
Yes.
And do it quickly. Yeah, yeah. Hey, when it comes to a regular year where you're not trying to get 50 states, you must get just about all the states anyway, right?
Yeah, I think last year we had around entries from about 30 different states. Okay. There is quite a lot entered from like kind of the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic yeah. region, obviously, since that's where we do have most of our presence. But we're definitely looking to expand. I believe not in this year's show, but 2023 show, we had at least one international entry too, which is pretty exciting.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so as you get along and you learn what states we don't have, you let me know, and we'll, you know, during the show, we'll put some pressure on people.
I will absolutely let you
enter
know.
Something. Enter something. Get it together, yeah. Now, the Nellie's Needlers then, are they the ones who then hang all the pieces after they've been judged, hang them all, catalog them, all the little bits and pieces that go into an exhibit of this size?
They oversee the ins and outs of how the show is run. And it is like because of their expertise and their attention and their time that the show could be done so seamlessly and becomes a place that people return to for year after year, bringing their entire generations of their families to the needlework show. So they know exactly what they're doing and how it is the most efficient way to make the show the success that it is.
Yeah.
We had a board last year where people could put post-it notes of their memories of the needlework show. And there were just so many of people saying, my grandmother entered here and my mother entered here and I enter in the show. So it really becomes this connection between families that happens annually, which is really special to be a part of.
Oh yeah, that's just great. Yeah, yeah. Generation after generation participating. That's yeah, and that's the history of needlework too. Is as so many people have learned from mothers and grandmothers, and it gets handed down. And we've talked to so many who got exposed to it as kids, and then they raise a family, and then they start to have a little time, and here comes needlework again. Yeah.
Yep. That's my personal experience with it. My mother taught me how to sew, and my grandmother sewed. So it's a very common thing that I hear, which I think is amazing about kind of passing on family traditions and hobbies, and it keeps you close to people, especially if those people are no longer around. So that's what I think is so special about it.
It's just great stuff. All right. So the Nellie's Needlers then, and then they have the cafe, and then they make, they stitch things to sell. In a normal year, now this is their 50th year, so they're going to have things throughout the year. And so there'll be some schedule on the website for that then.
Yes, we will absolutely have everything announced on our website. And I also would encourage, if anyone's interested, we have a monthly newsletter that we include all upcoming programming, including the Needlework Show programming and Nellie's programming. So if you are interested in Woodlawn and Pope Leahy House in general, in addition to the Needlework Show, I would highly recommend signing up for that. I am the person who oversees it, so I promise to not send you too much. Monthly newsletter is what we send out.
All right, we're holding you to that. Boy, as a marketing person, that's just got to be a real blessing to have a group like the Nellie's Needlers to handle an event of that size. Boy, that really must be a huge help to you.
Yes, they are. And many of the members actually have so much experience in marketing and communications, too. So they really know how to extra network and get the word out about this show, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Now, you touched on it. And then I let it just fly by. What other events do they have planned this year or next year to celebrate?
A new thing that we're doing are some wellness teas, and about more like mindfulness and wellness while having sort of a proper little tea. And then also workshops and classes. Those happen frequently outside of even just this anniversary year, but they're really going to be kind of amping them up a little bit. And all of those will be announced when they have them. One of the workshops last year that I personally hope is repeated was a bobbin lace workshop, which is something that I just love watching videos of people doing bobbin lace. And it's just such an amazing skill. It's so therapeutic to watch. So I'm hoping that makes a return.
There was one on Instagram the other day, and it was this lady who had to have been, 85 plus, and you could tell from her hands she'd been doing it forever. And holy smoke, she was just flying. I have no idea how. And she had pins in her mouth, and she'd pull one out and stick it in. I have no idea how she kept track, but she kept track. And
it sounds like music, it never bores me. I could watch those videos all day long.
Yep, me too. Yeah, yeah. And then she had a bunch that were all wrapped up in whatever that strap thing is that they use to hold the groupings, and she already had a whole spray of them out there, and she just took those and dumped them down and went right after it, and it's like, oh boy, yeah, she knew.
It's amazing.
And then on the other side of those pins comes out this beautiful lace, and she's pins in her mouth, and she just pull one out and stick it in. Oh, it's the coolest stuff. Yep. Yeah, that's one of those where you know you can do it, but you know you have to start out with just making just like 8 bobbins and number them. And
Well, that's something I really enjoy about needlework, is that I am someone who doesn't, I'm not necessarily liking to learn. I like being naturally good at things, but needlework makes you humble. Like, you have to start as a beginner, and you have to be open to learning and improving. So I that's what I really enjoy about it.
The needlers then, when they have workshops, those are obviously open to anyone. Are they how to stitch, or are they historical things, or a mix?
It's a mix.
Okay.
Last year we had some workshops going on throughout the show, and it was different techniques of stitching the Virginia State flower, which is the dogwood. And so there was a tea towel, there was like a coaster, there were different ways of stitching and different techniques that were used on it. There are some that are geared more for children, so really learning
Oh.
how to do needlework, which are very well attended. And then many of the workshops are open to all levels as well. So
Yeah.
some are basic techniques, and some are more like the bobbin lace,
Yeah,
where the having a
sure.
little bit of a background is probably going to be helpful. But they're really wide ranging to
Yeah.
attract anyone who may be interested in learning and doesn't really know where to start.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. No wonder people get excited about Woodlawn. There's so much. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And from a marketing person's perspective, yeah, you have stuff to work with. You're not making things up. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the needlework show in particular, it really not to say it sells itself, but like it is just so much fun to work on because there are so many different
Yeah.
aspects of it, and especially in a year like this where it's such a big year.
Yeah. Now, does Woodlawn have an archive of needlework that?
We have a collections department, and we have pieces that Nellie had made, and we have a couple pieces that Martha Washington made as well.
Oh,
Because
my.
talking about that generational connection of needlework, she learned from her grandmother. So we have that, and we also focus on in the history and kind of interpretation of the site that Nellie is probably the best known in the house of needleworking, but the women who were enslaved here at Woodlawn too were also incredibly talented needleworkers. And although we don't have pieces that they worked on, they were responsible for clothing and basic maintenance of linens. And so that's something that we also highlight of kind of these unseen needle artists that also lived here as well.
Yeah, from what little I know, needlework from slaves is hard to come by. Not a whole lot of it. Yeah, which is too
Yeah.
bad. Yeah. Yeah, what a shame.
But there's always a hope. We do have evidence of a woman who was enslaved here named Suki, who had made a hat for one of Nellie's grandchildren. And we know evidence that the hat was made for her grandson. And Nellie writes about it and that Suki made it. So we know that it existed, but we just don't know if it is still in existence and if so, where it might be.
Yeah.
So that
Yeah.
was an exciting thing to find.
Right. And that stuff is so neat because you know, the ugliness of slavery, but then when you get down, it's still humans interacting with humans and you know that works no matter where you're at. So,
Absolutely, yeah.
yeah, that's cool. Yep. So, all right, so the Nellie's Needlers 50 years we can donate. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you about. People can support the cause by just simply sending money. You'll take that?
Yes, we do
Okay.
accept donations. And if
Okay.
you're interested in sending donations, we have all of that information on our website. We'd be happy to, if there's anyone who would like to continue to support the preservation of Woodlawn, we'd be thrilled to hear that. And if you are possibly interested in becoming a Nellie yourself and joining Nellie's Needlers, we have that information on our website as well that you can contact them and may accept new members at any time.
Yeah. Now, is Woodlawn how is that supported? I mean, you've got the trust but that can't be enough. How is it just through donations? How does that work?
Through donations, the National Trust for Historic Preservation is kind of our parent organization, and they like oversee everything. But we don't get any like federal or state funding, and
Oh.
we are very reliant upon donations and visitations. So it's very helpful.
Yeah, so don't complain about the entry fee. It's doing good things. Yeah. All right, Elizabeth, this is wow. All right, so we got to get people registration November 9 to February 2 for the Needlework Show. And you can start mailing in November 9 and dropping off January 31.
Yes. So, yeah. So if you want to mail in, you can, and you got something ready. There also isn't a time limit as to when the piece had to have been made. It does not have to have been made within this calendar year. It just cannot have been submitted to the show previously. So if you have some pieces finished that you don't really know what to do with and you'd like to enter them in the show, we would love to have them. And yeah, November 9th, our registration will go live on our website. And we will be able to start accepting those submissions.
Yep. All right. 50 states. We got to get at least one from all 50 states. Let's go Alaska.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm picking on Alaska, but
I have heard that we will likely have one at least from Hawaii, which is pretty exciting. That's another one that might seem to be a little bit difficult to get over here. So. We'll see. I'm very optimistic that we'll reach our goal, especially with the help of lovely people like you.
You'll do it. You'll pull it up. All right. Thanks so much. What a great program, of course, to a lot of needleworkers, well known. But so much more to it than just entering a piece of needlework. It's impressive on several fronts. So thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. And thanks, everyone, for listening.